The 18th Sunday of Ordinary Time. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. A man in the crowd said to Jesus, "Master, tell my brother to give me a share of our inheritance." "My friend," he replied, "who appointed me your judge or the arbiter of your claims?" Then he said to them, "Watch and be on your guard against avarice of any kind, for a man's life is not made secure by what he owns, even when he has more than he needs." Then he told them a parable. There was once a rich man who, having had a good harvest from his land, thought to himself, "What am I to do? I have not enough room to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will pull down my barns and build bigger ones, and store all my grain and my goods in them. And I will say to my soul, 'My soul, you have plenty of good things laid by for many years to come. Take things easy, eat, drink, have a good time.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this very night the demand will be made for your soul. And this hoard of yours, whose will it be then?' So it is when a man stores up treasure for himself in place of making himself rich in the sight of God."
Towards the end of the second year of his public life, Jesus is with a crowd of people on the western side of the Lake of Gennesaret, above the towns of Magdala and Tiberias. Just after Jesus speaks about the danger of becoming too attached to riches, a man comes forward and says, "I'm not a disciple. I do admire you. Answer this question of mine. Is it lawful to keep the money of another person?" "No, man," says Jesus. "It is larceny, like robbing the purse of a passerby." "What if it is family money?" asks the man. "Of course," says Jesus, "it is not right that one should take possession of the money belonging to all the others." "Then come to Abelmain, master, on the road to Damascus, and order my brother to share with me the inheritance of our father, who died without leaving a written will. My brother took everything for himself, and remember that we are twins born at the first and only birth, so I have the same rights as he has." Jesus looks at the man and says, "It is a painful situation, and your brother is certainly not behaving righteously. But all I can do is to pray for you and for him that he may change. And I can come to your village and evangelize and thus touch his heart. The road is no burden to me if I can bring about peace between the two of you." The man becomes furious and says, "What's the use of your words? It will take much more than that in this case." And Jesus asks, "Did you tell me to order your brother to give you the money?" And the man replies, "Threaten to strike his person if he does not give me what is due to me. You can do that. As you give health, you can give a disease." "Man, I came to convert, not to strike. But if you have faith in my words, you will have peace." "Which words?" "I told you that I will pray for you and your brother, that you may be comforted and he may be converted." "Nonsense! I'm not such a fool as to believe that. Come and order him." Jesus, who has been meek and patient, becomes impressive and severe. Before, he was bending over the little, stout, angry man. Now he straightens up and says, "Man, who appointed me judge or arbiter between the two of you?" nobody. However, to avoid a rupture between two brothers, I was willing to come and practice my mission of conciliator and redeemer. And if you had believed my words, on going back to Abelmaim, you would have found your brother already changed. But you will not believe, and you will have no miracle. If you had been able to get hold of the treasure before your brother, you would have kept it, depriving your brother of it. Because while it is true that you were born twins, it is also true that you have twin passions, and that both you and your brother have but one love, gold, and one faith, gold. Be therefore with your faith. Goodbye. The man goes away, cursing Jesus, while all the people present are scandalized and would like to punish him. But Jesus objects, saying, "Let him go. Why dirty your hands, striking a brute? I forgive him because he is possessed and led astray by the demon of gold. You forgive him as well. Let us rather pray for the unhappy man so that he may become humane again with a beautiful, free soul." The disciples and those who were close to the man ask one another, "Well, that is true. Even his countenance was dreadful because of his greed. Did you notice?" "Listen," says Jesus, "it is true that the alterations of the spirit are reflected on one's face. It is as if the demon appeared on the surface. Only few people who are demons, either in deeds or appearance, do not disclose what they are. And those few are perfect in evil and perfectly possessed. The countenance of a just man, however, is always beautiful, even if his face is materially disfigured, because of a supernatural beauty that comes from the interior to the exterior. A vicious man is never really happy. On the contrary, a virtuous man is always happy, with a celestial joy, even if he is poor and alone. Not even death upsets him, because he has no sins or remorse which would make him afraid to meet God. Neither does he regret what he leaves on the earth. He knows that his treasure is in heaven, and like a man who goes to take the inheritance due to him, a holy inheritance, he goes happily and eagerly towards death, which opens the gate of the kingdom to him where his treasure is. Store up your treasure at once. Begin in your youth, you young people. Work incessantly, you older people, who are closer to death because of your age. But since the date of death is unknown, and a child often dies before a venerable old man, do not postpone the work of storing up your treasures of virtues and good deeds for the next life. Because death might reach you before you have placed a treasure of merits in heaven. Many people say, 'Oh, I am young and strong. I will enjoy myself for the time being on the earth, and I will change later.' A big mistake. Listen to this parable. A rich man's estate had yielded a good harvest, a really miraculous harvest. He looks happily at so much abundance piling up in his fields and threshing floors. It is to be stored in provisional sheds and even in the rooms of his house, since his barns cannot hold it all. And he says, 'I've worked like a slave for as much as for 10 harvests, and I am going to rest just as long. What shall I do to put away all this crop? I don't want to sell it, otherwise I would be compelled to work for a new crop next year. This is what I'll do. I'll knock down my granaries and build larger ones, capable of holding all my crops and my goods. And then I'll say, "Oh, my soul, you have put aside goods for many years. Rest, therefore, eat, drink, and have a good time." The man, like many more people, mistook his soul for his body, and mixed the sacred and the profane. Because, in actual fact, a soul does not rejoice in revelries and idleness, but it languishes. And the man stopped, like many others after their first good harvest in the fields of virtue, because he thought he had done everything. But do you not know that once you have laid your hand on the plough, you must persevere for 1, 10, 100 years, as long as your life lasts? Because to stop is a crime against yourself, as you deny yourself a greater glory. And it is a regression, because generally he who stops not only does not proceed further, but turns back. The treasure of heaven must increase year by year to be good. God said to the foolish man, "Fool, you mistake body and wealth of the earth for what is spirit, and you turn the grace of God into evil. This very night the demand will be made for your soul. It will be taken away, and your body will lie lifeless. And to this hoard of yours, whose will it be? Will you take it with you? No. In the next life you will come to my presence without earthly crops and spiritual works, and you will be poor. It would have been better if you had used your crops for works of mercy on behalf of your neighbour and yourself. Because if you had been merciful towards others, you would have been merciful to your own soul. And instead of fostering idle thoughts, you could have worked steadily at a trade which, until I called you, would have given an honest profit for your body and greater merit for your soul." The man died that night and was severely judged. I tell you solemnly that this happens to those who store up treasure for themselves but do not grow rich in the eyes of God. Go now and avail yourselves of the doctrine explained to you. Peace be with you.